headlines this hour. Tokyo confirms a secret pact with Washington that allows the U.S. to bring nuclear weapons into Japan. Israel approves the construction of 1,600 new homes on Palestinian land. And foreign troop casualties in Afghanistan continue to rise. NATO says two more soldiers have died.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Our top story this hour, Japan has verified the existence of a secret nuclear pact with the United States. The pact allows American forces to bring nuclear weapons into the country.
We have established that there was indeed a clause that was never announced that dealt with the United States and its bringing in of nuclear weapons into Japan. We don't want to imagine this sort of scenario, but we cannot definitely say that there has never been a nuclear weapon carried into Japan.
Well, Foreign Minister Katsuya Okada says a panel of experts confirmed the existence of the pact after examining thousands of documents over a period of months. The panel has said from the 1960s, Japan has allowed the United States to deploy nuclear weapons on the southern island of Okinawa. However, Washington has declined to comment on the new findings, saying it has been faithful to the agreements. Japan's previous governments had denied such secret pacts existed. Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama's government, which came to power 6 months ago, has taken up less U.S.-friendly policies. But Hatoyama says he believes the nuclear deterrence is necessary to maintain regional security. Japan often emphasizes its status as the only country to have suffered nuclear attacks in its calls for a world free of nuclear weapons.
Well, Turkish-U.S. relations are under the strain after U.S. lawmakers adopted a resolution last week describing the killing of Armenians in Ottoman Turkey as genocide. Turkey's trade minister has canceled an upcoming trip, according to sources close to the minister. A sign that the relations are still far from normal. Press TV's Jody Sabral reports.
Turkey's trade minister has cancelled an upcoming trip to the U.S. Turkish sources say the decision was taken in response to a U.S. House panel vote last week that recommended labeling the killing of Armenians in Ottoman Turkey as genocide. The decision is another sign of strained relations after Turkey recalled its U.S. envoy following the vote.
I was summoned back to Turkey for consultations. I will brief the Prime Minister, the President and the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Turkey's Prime Minister has repeatedly voiced his displeasure over the position taken by U.S. lawmakers.
Let me say quite clearly that this resolution will not harm us, but will damage bilateral relations between countries, their interests and their visions for the future. We will not be the losers.
While visiting Saudi Arabia on Tuesday, Erdogan announced that Turkey's ambassador to Washington wouldn't return until Turkey sees a clear result. NATO member Turkey is a strategic regional partner to the U.S. and aids both missions in Afghanistan and Iraq, something U.S. lawmakers may have overlooked, say observers.
There are quite a number of ways this displeasure will turn into political action. There may be restrictions on the use of Incirlik Airbase in addition to whatever restrictions may exist now. I think it will be more difficult to get American troops out of Iraq through Turkey. It will be more difficult to persuade Turks to continue with cooperation in Afghanistan. It will be more difficult to persuade Turks to work with the Americans for the achievement of Middle East peace.
Since the decision was taken, there has been a rise in anti-American feelings on Turkish streets.
It happened so long ago, no one really knows what happened there. People don't have enough information as to what happened. Speculation is being used to divide people. This was a ridiculous decision.
The Prime Minister will travel to the U.S. in early April for a nuclear summit. During the trip, it's expected that Erdogan will tell his U.S. ally not to use the word genocide in an annual address due to be delivered in late April by the U.S. President. But depending on how Obama plays it, could determine the tone of Turkish-US relations in the short term. Jody Sobral, Press TV, Istanbul.
Israel has approved the building of 1,600 new housing units in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Israel's interior minister says the units are to be constructed in an ultra-Orthodox neighborhood to be expanded both to the east and south. Also on Monday, Tel Aviv gave the green light for the construction of 112 housing units near Bethlehem. The move has drawn fire from Palestinians. A Palestinian Authority spokesman says Israel's continued expansion of settlements will hinder indirect peace talks. Nabil Abu Redena says Tel Aviv's decision shows the American efforts have failed even before the start of indirect talks. The international community condemns the Israeli settlement building on the occupied Palestinian land and considers it as illegal.
U.S. Vice President Joe Biden has condemned Israel's plan for 1,600 new homes on the occupied Palestinian territories. Biden says the substance and timing of the announcement undermine the trust Washington needs at this point of time. Biden issued a written statement soon after addressing a joint press conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden says that the Israeli plan runs counter to the constructive discussion he had in Israel on Tuesday. Biden's five-day visit to the region is part of Washington's efforts to resume Middle East peace talks. On Wednesday, he will visit the West Bank city of Ramallah for talks with the Palestinian Authority's officials.
Now, Lebanon's political parties have held a third round of national dialogue. The talks have ended with a statement stressing the need to maintain the atmosphere of political stability in the country and to continue the sessions to reach a common defense strategy.
Lebanese political parties entered a third round of national dialogue on Tuesday. The dialogue is regarded as the country's strategy for reaching common ground on issues which can only be resolved through dialogue and consensus among various factions. 18 leaders attended the talks held at the presidential palace headed by President Michel Sulaiman, who stressed the importance of dialogue.
As long as the Lebanese are united and they have the common objectives, I think, we don't have any fears from any Israeli aggression, as long as we're united. And this national dialogue platform is there just to ensure that we have a strong cohesion among the Lebanese factions.
Currently, there are differences over the defense strategy, as some parties within the 14th of March alliance, consisting of namely the Falange Party and the Lebanese Forces Party, have raised the issue of Hezbollah's arms as a focal controversial point. However, Hezbollah insists that it is not the issue of weapons which is open to discussion, rather a way to organize weapons in accordance with the policy of national defense.
There is no such thing as an article of weapons which is up for discussion at the dialogue table. The issue of arms should be a result of a strategy of defense.
Hezbollah has been legitimized as a national resistance by the current coalition government led by Prime Minister Saad Hariri. The major focus of the session was to stress the importance of dialogue and unity to resolve differences and to face the potential Israeli threats.
The national defense is not confined to the armament or disarmament of Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a component of the Lebanese society. So how can we coordinate all these efforts to have a strong national unity in facing the Israeli aggression or the threats that we are witnessing every day?
Hezbollah has been a key player in halting Israeli attacks against Lebanon, especially in the 2006 summer war, when Israel launched a full-scale war against Lebanon. While the 14th of March alliance holds on to defense strategy as a single agenda for discussion, the opposition, which includes Hezbollah and House Speaker, head of the Amal movement, Nabih Birri, have argued the possibility of raising additional issues on the agenda, including economy, water and security. President Sulaiman has adjourned the national dialogue session until April the 15th. While Israeli threats against Lebanon go undiminished, Lebanon's representatives meeting here today at the presidential palace have failed to agree on one political platform for a national strategy of defense. However, such talks, which coincide with regional indirect talks, could help stave off possible confrontation between Israel and Lebanon. Maryam Saleh, Press TV, from Baabda.
Well, Dubai's police chief has accused Israel of a vast falsification of documents following the assassination of a Hamas official in the Persian Gulf Emirate. Tahi Khalfan says the world must stop such fraudulent operations by Israel's spy agency, the Mossad. He says Dubai police are discovering more forged passports on a daily basis. Mahmoud Al-Mabhouh was found dead at a Dubai hotel in January. Israel's Mossad is accused of being behind the death. The Interpol has issued arrest notices for 27 suspects so far. It has confirmed that the suspects carried out their mission using false British and Irish as well as French passports.
Iraq's independent High Electoral Commission has postponed the announcement of preliminary results from Sunday's general elections. The electoral body says the decision was made because the votes counted failed to reach the 30% threshold. Initial results are expected on Wednesday. Informal tallies suggest that Prime Minister Nouriel Maliki's State of the Law coalition is leading the count in half of the provinces, while the Iraqi National Alliance appears strong in the north and the west. Reports say Maliki's list looks like heading for 100 seats in the 325-seat parliament. Final results are expected to be announced at the end of the month. The Election Commission says the overall turnout in Sunday's elections was 62%.
NATO says a bomb blast has killed two of its servicemen in eastern Afghanistan. The alliance says the attack took place in the Alishir district of Khost province near the Pakistani border. The sound of the blast was heard near a NATO military base. However, the alliance has not yet confirmed whether the explosion hit inside the base. Meanwhile, Afghan casualties also continue to rise.
Violence has claimed 19 lives in southern Afghanistan as the U.S. Secretary of Defense visits the country. A roadside bomb killed three policemen and a civilian in Spin Bulk Dek in Kandahar province. Elsewhere in the same province, 15 people were killed in a NATO airstrike in Mian Shin town. NATO officials say the raid targeted Taliban militants. Meanwhile, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, has visited Kandahar. Gates is in Afghanistan to review the latest developments there. He's warned of a tough battle against the Taliban in the months to come.
The head of the U.S. military's European command says NATO countries are failing to live up to their promises of providing personnel to train Afghanistan security forces. Admiral James Stavridis says the U.S. wanted NATO to contribute over 1,200 trainers, but the alliance has only offered about 500. The U.S. Armed Services Committee says NATO is not meeting the commitments it made at a conference on Afghanistan. There are over 120,000 U.S. and NATO forces stationed in Afghanistan. The number is expected to reach 150,000 by August.
Now, Iran's ambassador to Afghanistan says the Islamic Republic has so far spent nearly $300 million in the reconstruction of the war-ravaged country. Fadhl Hossein Maliki says the reconstruction of Afghanistan remains an important issue after 8 years of war. He says Iran has always been the first to offer help in rebuilding Afghanistan. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is expected to meet with Afghan officials in Kabul on Wednesday to discuss bilateral ties. Campaign against terrorism and regional security issues will also be on the agenda.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Tokyo confirms a secret pact with Washington that allows the U.S. to bring nuclear weapons into Japan. Israel approves the construction of 1,600 new homes on Palestinian lands. And foreign troop casualties in Afghanistan continue to rise. NATO says two more soldiers have died.